All right, so the last 4 years have been quite an adventure to get to this point. You want to just talk about like where you were and where you are now?
Yeah, I know. 4 years ago, when we, I guess that was around the time that we wrapped up, the real touring cycle for A Promise to Burn, and the album didn't perform how we wanted it to necessarily. So we were kind of scratching our heads, what's next? We ended up coming to a mutual agreement to leave our label that we were on for our first two albums. And it was one of those things where we were like, all right, now do we want to sign with another label? Do we want to, do crowdfunding for this? How do we want to do this? So we ended up deciding to go through Kickstarter. And, our fans came through. Kickstarter at the time was, right in the beginning stages, I guess, of it wasn't where it is today. There weren't movie studios doling out, getting millions of dollars from fans for movies and stuff like that. So, we asked for, I believe it was 40 grand for an album and a video. And, our fans ended up coming through and we raised 60, actually, well past our goal. And, from that pump, or moment forward, rather, we found a producer that we wanted to work with, and we went and did an album with him. And, that took well over the majority of our album. We went and did the album about 2 months later. It was 2012, actually, when we did that. December, or August, September 2012. And we just didn't. We spent almost every bit of that money that we raised from Kickstarter on this album to live down in Atlanta for a month and a half to work on the album. The producer's fee, how much it was going to cost in the studio, everything. And then when we finished up, I felt like over the course of the month following that, we were kind of talking ourselves into liking the album more than we really did, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And we just felt like it wasn't there, man. And it's funny because when you have a label giving you the money, it's one thing for an album, But when your fans are the ones that are funding the album, it's one of those things where you hold it in a high regard. You're like, this has to be our best stuff. Our fans, the people that care about our band, are the ones that paid for this. So we decided from that moment forward, we were gonna raise the rest of our money ourselves and re-recorded the album. And we would start doing like Weekend Warrior type stuff, where we go out and do a few shows here and there and put back some money. That'd be enough for one song with, one guy, and then we'd do it again. That'd be enough for some songs with another guy. And through time, and it was a long, arduous process. We raised the money that we needed to get this album to where it is today. And, I'm very glad we spent time on it because we're in a situation now, 4 years away from the public eyes. That's very, very dangerous for a band. And, we've always been aware of, social media presence and, an online presence. I'm always active in that and try to stay in touch with our fans, but still to not have new music out there for your fan base to hear for 4 years, that's something that sometimes a band can't recover from. And, I'm glad we spent the time on this album because we had a label, Imagine Records, approach us, and they believed in what we had going on. They heard the album, and they thought that they could help us. And, through some negotiating, we believed that it put us in a situation to make this album a success that, as an independent artist, we necessarily didn't have the capability of doing. It's one thing to get your music out there to your fan base, but it's another thing to have a label come in and help with radio and things of that nature, getting your CDs in store, to broaden your fan base. And, I'd be lying if I said that that's not something, the biggest goal of this. Every band wants to, the exposure to more people, to just get their music out there. And we're in a situation now where 4 years after the release of A Promise to Burn, 2 years spending on the sum of who we are, we're in a situation now to where I think, we're ready to do that. And the single just went to radio, Criminal just went to radio, actually, last week and started getting ads today. So it's an exciting time, man. It was a long, long, long process, and there were some low points in our lives and our career over the past 2 years of making this album. It's just because, for a moment there, it felt like, well, is this going to be our Chinese Democracy? Is this going to be our album that we keep saying is going to come? And then we just keep pushing it back for this and that and this and that, you know. And I didn't want, we never wanted to, you know, crowdfunding was something we were hesitant about doing in the first place. Mm-hmm. But when we did do it and it came through and our fans came through and, you know, in the fashion that they did come through, you know, above and beyond, and then we had an album that we weren't sold on ourselves, well, then it just became a, you know, was it ever going to be good enough for our fans? Are we ever going to feel like we have an album that is good enough for our fans? And, you know, I'm happy to say that I feel like our album now is the best material that we've done as a band. And I'm just excited, man. It's an exciting time again to be in Freeman Hanley. So, you know, we'll see what happens next.
So why do you think it's the best album you guys have done so far? What do you think makes it so special?
The songs, man. You know, we didn't just finish a song and feel like, you know, well, we're at a finishing and stopping point with this. This must be it. You know, there were plenty of songs on this album where we went back to the drawing board. We're like, I just feel like there's something missing from this. And we never have necessarily done that in the past. You know, it was always, especially with The Moment, our first album. I mean, hell, we did that album in two and a half weeks. It's funny because there's a saying, what, you have your whole lifetime to make your first album and then 2 weeks to every album after that, you know? And, you know, with this one, we didn't necessarily, with not having a label, again, taking as long as we did might not have been the best idea, but at the same time, I feel like we wouldn't have an album that we feel so confident about if we wouldn't have put this time into it, you know. And with the past 2 years and the hardships and, you know, member change and, you know, all five of us working other jobs, you know. I mean, I've been serving tables and, you know, doing PR work for other artists. It's like, this has been my life for the past couple of years, and I want to get to the point where I'm just doing music again, you know. And I think he created that hunger and that desire that maybe we hadn't had, you know, since the point of being a local band and, you know, before the first record deal and, you know, before traveling all these amazing places across the world and meeting all these amazing people that connected with our music. It's like it really puts it into perspective that, like, it can be over in a, you know, the blink of an eye. And we knew to get people's attention after 2 years, you know, 4 years since our last release, but after 2 years of being gone working on this album, that it had to be something special. And the songwriting is at a level that I know we haven't been. You know, just the brotherhood between us five, you bass player, between the five of us, I feel like we're closer now than we ever have been. We're having more fun playing these songs live than we ever have been. And that's an overlooked important part, too. You know, I feel like when I go to a show and I see a band on stage, and I can kind of tell they're just going through the motions, like, you know, it doesn't resonate as much with you in the audience. And we want to have fun playing these songs because it's easier for your fans to connect and people in the audience to connect and have fun if the band playing the songs are truly enjoying it. And we're at that stage now.
Did it hurt at all to lose Luke McDuffie? I mean, how do you replace somebody like that? He was there from, you know, the beginning.
Yeah, you know, just not even on the level of how great of a musician he is, just, you know, it being a guy that was there from the beginning. You know, hell, Luke was playing in a band with Chris before I met them, and we started what turned into Freeman Hanley. So, you know, to lose an OG, it was definitely not something, you know, that we expected, nor that it was necessarily easy. But, you know, it was something that he felt he had to do to get his life together. You know, I feel like, not to say that anything in a negative light about the guy, but, you know, the rest of us all had families and, you know, relationships were either married or engaged to be married. And I feel like, you know, it was kind of one of those things where when the band was going through the rough period making this album and, you know, this never going to get there, is this album going to ever be to the point where we're happy with it? Like, maybe it just resonated with him that, you know, if this ended, what's going to happen? You know, what would I do then? And, you know, not taking anything away from him, because we're kind of all in that situation still, to where it was a very scary wake-up call. That's like, well, frankly, if the wheels fall off, what happens next? You know, we're not necessarily young guys anymore. And, you know, I owe a lot of money still in student loans for time in school when I should have probably been focusing on school, but instead was focusing on music. So, you know, he felt it was something that he had to do to get his life on track. You know, I support him and love that dude, and I know we all do. And Stoy, our new bass player, we couldn't have asked for someone to transition into the role any better than that guy's been. It really does feel like he's the guy that's been there from the beginning in some ways. You know, he's a hilarious guy. He's fun to be around, and he's a noob when it comes to touring, so we're looking forward to breaking him in there, you know, and teaching him what that's like. But you know, Luke was an incredible singer. He's a lot of people would always say that how fortunate I was as a lead singer to have someone like him, because, you know, times when I was sick or I'd lose my voice here at a show and I knew I had to bring it the next night, I could always ask for Luke's help, and he would, you know, he was there. He was like a crutch in some ways, but not just that, you know, an incredible bass player. And it's something that, you know, I'm confident in saying I don't think it's going to necessarily change the molecular makeup of our band. No, it's still there. The songwriting, all that's still there with this group that we have now, you know, but at the same time, he will be missed. You know, there are going to be times we're on the road, and then we're just thinking, man, you know, Luke would have enjoyed this. You know, it would have been cool to experience this for Luke, but at the same time, you know, Stoy couldn't have asked for another guy to come in here and to fill that void as well as he has. And, you know, I'm looking forward more than anything to hitting the road with this guy and really, you know, we always love when we have crew guys even that come out with us for the first time that haven't done a lot of touring, because then it's like, you know, you take away this sense of pride almost. It's like, cool, I was able to give this guy this, you know, this experience. You know, he traveled, like, when we went to Australia, and we put some guys with us over there that, you know, they never been there. Hell, it was our first time there. But, you know, knowing that they're experiencing that because of your band, it's pretty awesome that we can do that with Stoy, and he can also bring at the same time a great skill at bass and singing and just being a fun dude to hang out with. So he is basically the best possible scenario that we could ever imagine to fill big shoes like Luke.
You said earlier that it was the songs that make this album so special. Let's talk a little bit about the first single, Criminal. Mm-hmm. How was it written? Is there a story behind it? What do you think makes that song special?
That's funny, because you'll never believe this, but the chorus of that song originally, man, even though when you listen to the song and, you know, you kind of get a vibe of what that song's about, the chorus necessarily wasn't originally about the chorus. I have a 4-year-old son that's in love with Taylor Swift, and if I say the name too loud, he's going to hear me in the door and run in here right now and say, did you say Taylor Swift? But, yeah, he says Swiss, not Swift. But, he's in love with her, you know, a rock dad. I want to get him into things like Foo Fighters, Thrice, you know, these things that his dad loves. And I'll play those in the car when we're driving around. He always has to listen to Taylor. So I'd always be like, dude, no, come on, man, just listen to Foo Fighters. But when I'm not around him, Taylor Swift is one of the artists on my iPhone that I will find myself driving around and listening to. So really it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, you know, you're making me a criminal. It's like I'm doing what I'm preaching not to do. I'm breaking the laws here that I'm setting forth with my own son because of the songwriting that you have on your album. You know, I will be the first to say I am a Taylor Swift fan. So that's kind of where the idea of that came with. You know, at songwriting, though, I've never been the one to limit myself with a song can only mean one thing. You know, we've had plenty of songs in the past where, you know, maybe a part here was written about something I was going through in my life here, and then, you know, another part of the song was something totally different, but it worked together. And, you know, when you listen to the rest of that song, I think you kind of get an idea of that just being a song about, cool, like, you're a chick, I'm a dude, or hell, if it's a dude and another dude, or a chick and another chick, it's like, you know, let's procreate here, let's so in layman's terms, really, it's just we've never been a band to have a song that's really about that. So it was cool when it turned into that, to know where that song was, you know, where it came from, where the original birthing point of that chorus was, at least, you know, lyrically, and then to turn into what it turned into, and something that I think a lot more people are going to probably be able to connect with than a story like, you know, well, my son was listening to Taylor Swift, and I told him he couldn't, but then I'm listening to it when he's not around. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
But yeah, Eric Bass, actually, from Shinedown, bass player from Shinedown, we worked with him on that song, and I actually co-wrote that song with him, and it just turned into one of those things when I had that chorus. He naturally, I think, heard one thing, and we went more in that direction with it. And it's fun to explain that, though. You're the first, I think, that I've sat here and explained what that song was originally derived from. So,
nice.
I mean, I'm sure that you had no idea that it could ever come from something like that. So,
yeah, absolutely. That. Yeah, that was definitely the surprise of the interview so far. Who are your vocal inspirations? I mean, like, the first time I heard the band, I'm not sure if you remember them, but SR71, they're just a band that a lot of people grew up with, like, in the mid to late 90s. They did, like, you know, a lot of alternative, a lot of pop punk, but they were able to do a bunch of different things. Mitch Allen, I mean, he wrote a lot of stuff for, like, Bowling for Soup, and, like, they've done a lot of, like, different types of stuff, but, like, that's who I hear a little bit, like, in your voice. But who did you grow up listening to, and who do you really like?
That's awesome, dude. I'm a big Mitch Allen fan. He's still kicking ass as a songwriter now. I think he actually might even be located here in Nashville.
Nice.
I hate my voice. I think that's something that a lot of singers probably say that about themselves, but necessarily probably don't always mean it. I hate my voice. One of my things that I take pride in more than singing is songwriting. And as far as singers that I've always been fans of, growing up, I try to emulate Gavin Rossdale a lot, I think, and I don't think I necessarily sound anything like I did in past bands now, and it is a lot because I stopped trying to emulate other voices and try to start singing, you know, just naturally like myself. But, you know, Rob Thomas is another singer I love. Mm-hmm. But honestly, if there was anyone that I could really, as a singer, say, man, I wish I could sound just like that dude, it would probably be Dallas Green from City in Color, like Sunfire, or Freddie Mercury, you know, as a singer. That's the end-all, be-all right there. That's the number one on the list. It's hard for me to say who I think I sound like because, you know, I don't listen to my voice a lot. My wife has our new album in the car right now, and she's listening to it all the time and trying to give me, you know, what about this day or whatever, at least during the making of the album, she was doing that. And I would just be like, babe, look, when I'm around you, I don't want to listen to this album. You know? So I don't know. Yeah, I've heard a lot of, I mean, that's the first Mitch Allen comparison I heard, and that's a tall compliment. Another one that I've heard that I don't necessarily hear myself, but was huge praise to me was Brendan Boyd. You know, I think that's one of the finest singers in modern day rock as well. Nice. So I don't know. There's a lot of guys that I wish I could sound like, so maybe that's an easier question to answer. But, you know, I go out there and sing, and whatever comes out, and sometimes it's not necessarily a good thing.
How do you want this album to really affect people? How do you want it to, you know, everyone has those fond memories of albums, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. How do you want this album to be looked at 4 or 5 years from today?
Man, I hope people just, you know, I hope by that point that we've had not one more, at least two more albums that have come out that have kind of even put this in the shadow. But I want people to look at this and recognize this album as a turning point for our band. You know, and maybe that's a statement that a lot of bands say about forthcoming albums, but and maybe it's just because of what we went through with this album, you know, and the heartbreak that came along with this album, and you know, the money that was put into this album, on, you know, not from just from our fans and not just from our own pocket, but also from our own pockets. You know, it's been an experience that I don't think we thought we'd ever go through. You know, with the experiences that we had had in the past and the success or lack thereof, for that matter. You know, I say that joking. But I realized that we have been lucky enough to experience an amount of success that a lot of bands would be envious about. And a lot of times it's easy for us to overlook that because things aren't where we want them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after all the experiences in the success, quote unquote, that we had to come to a point to where we had to go back and, you know, work our regular jobs that we had before doing this 7 years ago, that was kind of an eye opener, you know? And, it brought with it, you know, hey, we've got to bring our A game on this. And I hope that people think we did when they hear this. You know, I hope that they can't even compare past albums to this. With A Promise to Burn, we had a lot of people say that maybe they enjoyed The Moment better, or even people that enjoyed A Promise to Burn better than The Moment. I want this to be the album that both of those sets of people say, wow, this is the best shit that you guys have done.